The Service to America Medal finalists have been announced, and all summer long we're hearing from finalists being honored for their work. Today we speak with Dr. C. Norman Coleman, Associate Director for the Radiation Research Program at the National Institutes of Health's National Cancer Institute. Dr. Coleman developed a blueprint for the U.S. to deal with the health consequences of a radiological or nuclear accident. He also helped the Japanese respond to radiation from earthquake and tsunami-damaged nuclear power plants. And he's a finalist in the Homeland Security category. He joins us now. Dr. Coleman, great to speak with you.
Good morning.
So let's start with the most newsworthy item, and that, of course, is the meltdowns in Japan. What did we learn from those?
Well, we learned how this a nuclear incident would play out in the civilian world. This is a completely unique incident in which a very sophisticated country had a complex issue with a nuclear reactor, and one in which we were actually monitoring all the way from the beginning. As opposed to Chernobyl, when we found out a bit after the fact, here we were involved along with the Japanese and seeing how these played out. What's very important we learned is public communication and also understanding that one has to make decisions in real time, often not knowing what the outcome is going to be.
Is that one of the things that you helped with when you were helping the Japanese respond to this crisis?
So we came initially to advise the U.S. ambassador because there were many American citizens over there. But we've done extensive planning on nuclear incidents, including a nuclear detonation, all the way from the very basic science to how to respond to individual people. So soon after we got there, we were dealing with the issues of potential plumes and radioactive release and is one going to have to evacuate places like Tokyo. So we worked very closely with our colleagues who work closely with the Japanese. After a few days, the Japanese formally asked for assistance with the U.S., so then we were working much more closely with the Japanese and how to communicate what was going on and also try to how to understand what was going to happen.
And so how did that learning in Japan, or has it yet, come back to inform the planning and thinking for what could happen in the United States?
Well, a great deal. I think we saw that people in the United States were out buying potassium iodide, which they certainly didn't need with an incident that far away. So we've learned a lot of things. We learned that one has to begin to make really excellent assessments of what's going on the ground. So one can estimate what the approximate reach of these incidents will be in terms of contamination. Really clear communication by experts early on is important. Often, as we do in medical management, you don't know what's going to actually happen, but you have to make some on-the-fly decisions. And we think what's really important is to be able to get the best assessment possible and then inform in as clear a way as possible the public about what's going on and what they should or should not do.
We're talking with Dr. C. Norman Coleman, the Associate Director for Radiation Research Program at the National Institutes of Health's National Cancer Institute, and he is also a SAMMY's finalist. Now, talk to us a little more about the blueprint for the health consequences. You had said in the beginning that this is an unusual incident that we're able to watch from the very beginning. What extra data did that give you that you wouldn't have had before?
Well, the way we've approached all these radiologic incidents is that you really have to understand everything from the basic physics of radiation to the basic radiation science, how it interacts, how the radiation interacts with people with their risks of disease and illness. So we had pretty much thought about every step of the way for a nuclear detonation, which is clearly a much bigger event than this. So having all this experience, when you get on the ground, you pretty much know what you have to do, so you can go about your business pretty clearly. We've written things that are available to the public. We publish all our information in peer-reviewed literature. We've developed a fabulous website called Radiation Emergency Medical Management, which is www.remm.nlm.gov, which people use worldwide when an incident like this comes up, but to help them explain what radiation is and what they have to do about it. So we think communicating plans and having the plans all thought out in detail makes it easier. Once you get in an incident, obviously you have to adapt on the fly, but you at least have some very clear place from which to start.
I wanted to ask you about something that happened in Japan also that relates to the work that you do in your life's work. Some of the senior, retired, elderly scientists said, well, let us go in and see what we can assess here, because if we are radiated to an excessive degree, the cancers may not show up for about 20 years. The implication was it would be after that they had passed on naturally. Were they right about that? Was that, tell us about what you, your assessment of that incident.
Okay, so what you learn from clinical medicine and also from Chernobyl is that radiation is a weak carcinogen, but it is a carcinogen. The radiation-inducible leukemias appear usually in about 5 to 7 years, but what's even more common is what we call the non-leukemia or solid tumors, and those have latencies of probably about 10 to 30 years. So they are correct that even if they get a low exposure, their risk may be very low. But we talk about risk as a cumulative risk over the remaining part of your lifetime. So the younger people just have more lifetime ahead of them to potentially experience a radiation-inducible problem. So they are right. And again, we used to kid around ourselves. And we used to call it the ARP squad, you know, to bring the old folks in to do the work. So it was very courageous of them to do that, and actually they're really sort of right on target as far as radiation risk.
But it sounds like something you could never really make as policy. It would almost seem like it would have to require volunteer effort to do that.
Yeah, and so I think also if there are radiation incidences, the local responders are also thinking if they have to, people have to go in and take some risk, they would probably go to the older members, not necessarily 70-year-old people, but they would go with the older members of the team probably before the younger members, particularly with women of childbearing age, you'd probably try to be a little more cautious. Again, there were so many precautions taken that there were very, very few people in Japan, despite the size of this incident, who were exposed to radiation of really any major consequence.